Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know God and make Him known. We now offer two services on Sunday mornings. Our classic service begins at 8:30 a.m. and our modern service is at 10:45. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church to find out more about how we are making disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in this week's message from God's Word.
Well, amen. What a wonderful name it is. Our praise and glory goes to Jesus. And so He does have a wonderful, wonderful name. Hey, we're continuing our series, Church in the Wild. And so we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 10. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I love this series. When you think things are crazy in today's day and age in the world, you read 1 Corinthians and you go, okay, all right, maybe not as crazy as I thought. People have always been a little crazy. Things have always been a little bit wild. And God has placed us, the church, where He's placed us for a reason, for a purpose, and that's to share the gospel. To share the gospel. And I pray that we're reminded this morning that we are given one life. One life, that's it. And we need to use it all for His glory. In verse 10, it says, because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. Don't you realize that all who you gather at are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple. But God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Stop deceiving yourselves. If you think you were wise by the world's standards, you need to become a fool to be truly wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. And as the scriptures say, He traps the wise in the snare of their own cleverness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise. He knows they are worthless. So don't boast about following a particular human leader. For everything belongs to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Peter, or the world or life and death, or the present and the future. Everything belongs to you. And you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. So look at Apollos and me as mere servants of Christ, who have been put in charge of explaining God's mysteries. Now, a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. As for me, it matters very little how I might be evaluated by you or by a human authority. I don't even trust my own judgment at this point. My conscience is clear, but that doesn't prove I'm right. It is the Lord Himself who will examine me and decide. So don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time before the Lord returns, for He will bring our darkest secrets to light and will reveal our private motives. Then God will give to each one according to whatever praise is due. Let us pray. Father, we come to you in prayer, thankful that as we dive into your word here this morning, that we're going to see that one day there will be a judgment day. There will be a judgment day, and there will be a time in which we give an answer for all that we've done. So God, as we live this life, may we use each and every day for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Several years ago, a Charlotte, North Carolina man purchased a case of rare, very expensive cigars, and he insured them against fire. He did. And before he made a single payment, he smoked all 24 of the cigars and claimed that they had been lost in a series of small fires. It's a true story. And so the insurance company is like, this is ridiculous. We're not going to cover this. And so the man took them to court, and he won. He won because the judge is like, well, it does not state that he could not do that. And so rather than enduring a lengthy and costly appeal process, the insurance company accepted the judge's ruling and paid the man $15,000 for the rare cigars he lost in those small fires. But after the man cashed the check, the insurance company had him arrested for 24 counts of arson. That's poetic justice. You know, there's something in us where we want to see someone get what they deserve. We don't want someone to get away, especially if they do something to someone who is innocent. We want them judged. If someone does something that is unfair, we want things to be made right. And there's something inside of all of us that says there must be a day of judgment. There must be a way of making this right. And as we're reading this passage, and we've been going through 1 Corinthians, we come across what the Bible speaks of, this time of judgment. And there will be a judgment day someday for everybody. And I thought, you know, there's a lot that the Bible speaks about judgment. Now, we can experience God's judgment / wrath even here on earth. But there are certain times prophetically in the future that there will be a time of judgment. And it's not just a one time of judgment, but different times. And I thought, you know what? We need to explain this out and just simplify it a little bit. And you could probably go deeper into this subject than what we're going to. But there's five things you should know about God's judgment. Okay? Here's the first one. First one is every person will be judged by God. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how much money you make or your education. You're going to be judged by God Almighty. You will stand before Him. And it says right there in Hebrews 9, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Unless the Lord tarries, you will die, and you will face judgment at one point in time when you stand before the Lord. Everybody. Here's the second point when it comes to the judgment, about God's judgment. Judgment delayed is not justice denied. Now, sometimes in this life, we see people get what they deserve. We see someone do something awful, and they'll reap what they have sown. Or as we've heard it said, what goes around comes around. Sometimes people will say, that's karma. And really, kind of the definition of karma has changed, because really the definition of karma has to do with Hinduism and Buddhism. In fact, Buddhism took it from Hinduism. And it all has to deal, really, karma has to deal with the afterlife of what you may or may not turn into. So if you're not really all that great, maybe you turn into a cockroach, or you turn into, you know, a mouse. Or if you're really bad, you turn into a cat, something like that. I'm just kidding. But that's what karma is. But we get what they're trying to say. They're trying to say, listen, what goes around comes around. And we have sometimes this idea in our lives that if something bad happens to us and justice needs to happen, sometimes we do get that in this life. But we're not guaranteed it. Sometimes it's going to take a while. It may not even be in this lifetime, but rest assured, God will right the wrongs. He will give justice. And even if you don't see it. And so maybe you have some like hurts and some pains and some people who have done you wrong. And you're like, God, and maybe you're even angry at God about it. You're like, God, when's there going to be justice? When are you going to deal with this? He'll deal with it in time. You may see it in your lifetime and you may not. But rest assured, your Heavenly Father who loves you, He will bring justice. And judgment delayed is not justice denied. Here's the third point. is unbelievers will be judged at the white throne judgment. The white throne judgment. We see that this judgment is comprehensive. This is all who have ever died, small, great, insignificant, or significant. No one escapes having a day of judgment. And the Bible speaks on the great white throne judgment. In fact, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15, this is what it reads. We have this on the screen, or you can write it down. It says, "And I saw a great white throne, and the one sitting on it. And the earth and the sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. And the books were opened, including the book of life." Let's stop right there for a moment. It's interesting. We have the book of life, and the book of life, what's in the book of life is anyone who is a Christian who has repented of their sins and given their life to Christ, your name is written in the book of life. There's also other books. God has his own library, apparently. And I believe that in those books, he's writing and he's recording history. He's recording everything that's happening, the good, the bad, the things that you do. He's writing them down. And it says, "And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead, and all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire was a second death. And anyone whose name was not recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." This judgment, this great white throne judgment, is a judgment, and everyone who is there takes place in heaven. Prophetically, many believe that it takes place at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now, if you're not familiar with prophecy that many Christians hold to, and this is what we hold to, it's a common, even if there's some different views in Christianity, they're not necessarily wrong, but this is what we hold to, and that the next event on the calendar could be the what we call the rapturing of the church to be taken up. That can happen at any moment and any time. And we kind of base a lot of that off of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and talking about how the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which remain will be caught up in the air with him. And we believe that once that happens and we go to this temporary heaven, we call this the current heaven is not the permanent heaven. There will be a new heaven and a new earth one day, the Bible speaks of. But it's an intermediate heaven, and we'll go there, and we'll experience and be with Jesus. And so during that time, after that happens, the Antichrist is revealed here on earth, and there's 7 years of tribulation. And the church, being up in heaven, being with the Lord, will be with him. But down here on earth, there will be a lot of difficulty. You could even say hell on earth during that time. At the end of the 7-year tribulation, there's a great battle. You've probably heard of it, the Battle of Armageddon, where the whole world comes against the nation, the little nation of Israel. And Jesus Christ puts a stop to it and rescues Israel. And there's a 1,000-year reign of Christ. And we are with the Lord. And you can try to wrap your mind around that a little bit. It's kind of difficult to kind of think, man, we'll be with the Lord back here. Yes, absolutely. In 1,000 years, that's what we see. And we believe in a literal rule and reign of Christ. After that 1,000 years is up, you have a time of judgment. There's a couple other things that go on, but you have, after that period of time, the great white throne judgment. And some wonder, will there be tears? Will there be tears in heaven? On the new heaven and new earth? No. But the great white throne? Yeah. And in fact, this is a judgment for the unbeliever, the one who has rejected Jesus Christ. But Christians, I believe, will be watching this. We'll see this. And we may see, unfortunately, some friends and people we know who never accepted Christ. And they might, man, they might just look at you. They might just look at me. And go, why didn't you tell me about Jesus? Why didn't you tell me about the gospel? It'll be awful. And there's no other way to describe it but that. And many have in their mind that when they stand before God Almighty, that God is going to weigh their good deeds and their bad deeds, and that as long as their good deeds outweigh their bad deeds, they're getting into heaven. And my friend, I just want you to know, that is a lie straight from Satan. It's not true. You won't read the scriptures and find that. You won't. And there will be some good people who have done a lot of good things for a lot of people. Maybe even people who were very, very wealthy and gave their billions and billions of dollars to help children out in children hospitals. And that's a wonderful thing to do for humanity. But just because you do something good and you do a lot of good things is not what's going to get you in. It's by the grace of God. It's by repenting of your sin and humbling yourself and asking Christ to save you and putting your faith and belief in him. That is what saves you. And this judgment, this white throne judgment, it will take place. And those who do not believe in Christ will stand before the Lord. It's interesting that the great white throne judgment is mentioned. And maybe you're a Freemason here. Some are Freemasons more than likely in our church. I have really some concerns when the Freemasons have in their literature that they can't wait to stand before God at the great white throne judgment. Seems like some false teaching in that area. Some good people, but some areas of great, great concern. And maybe that's something you're a part of, maybe you're not, but I have some concerns about the Masons, honestly, and some of the teachings that are in there. And I think if you're part of that, you should really probably study and compare that with God's word a little bit more than what you are. And I think you might see that you're spending a lot of time investing in something that's not actually a part of the kingdom of God and his church. God's plan for expanding the kingdom of God is the church. Everything outside of it doesn't necessarily apply. And that might make a couple people feel a little uncomfortable, but you probably should be a little uncomfortable with that topic. Let's move on. Here's number four. Believers in Christ will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. It is separate. It is a separate judgment from the great white throne judgment. Now, what you're going to see here is that scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will be judged. Now, the question is this a judgment for our salvation? And the answer is no, it is not. It is a time of where we stand before the Lord and we are rewarded for the things in which we've done for him. You see, in Christ, we do good things, we do good works. Because we're saved, we don't do those things in order to stay saved or to earn our way into heaven. Because no one, and scripture makes it very, very clear, very clear. Ephesians chapter 2, the book of Titus. I mean, you can just, if you read the New Testament, you'll go, you know what? I think you can't save yourself. You need Jesus to save you, and you can't earn your way in there. It's clear, and I don't know what to do with people who want to argue something that's very, very clear in scripture in that area. But we will stand before the Lord in this area. Now, go back here to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and just kind of pulling this out. In verse 10, it says, because of God's grace to me, I have laid a foundation like an expert builder. Now, others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be what? Very careful. Christian, you need to be careful with the time and the talents God has given you. Why is that? Well, Paul answers it. For no one can lay any other foundation other than what was laid already than Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is our foundation of our faith. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use. In other words, you have a choice in what you're going to do with your time. You have a choice what you're going to do with your talents. What you may use. You may use gold. You may use silver, jewels, or you may use something like wood, hay, and straw. He's saying, hey, there's some things that you are more valuable that you can use, and there's things that, well, you can use, but when they're tested by fire, they're not going to last. They're not going to last. And so it says in verse 13, but on judgment day, fire will reveal. And fire is always a sign of God's judgment. What kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a what? A reward. This term for judgment here is a Greek word, bema. And that word means judgment seat. But we are not talking about a judgment of condemnation, because Romans 8:1 talks about in Christ, we're no longer condemned. We are talking about a judgment of evaluation. So we will be evaluated for God Almighty. And he's going to take all the things in which we've done, how we've spent our time after we receive Christ, and he's going to try it by fire. He's going to see, did we invest our time wisely for the kingdom of God? Did we further the kingdom of God? Did we help our church? Did we use our times and our talents? And each one of us will stand before the Lord. Jesus will be the one who will be doing the judging according to John chapter 5. And we believe that this judgment seat of Christ takes place sometime in heaven during the 7-year tribulation period that's happening here on earth. The judgment seat of Christ is happening in heaven. Now, this judgment seat of Christ is something that should concern every Christian. Because some will have in their mind, well, hey, I accepted Christ, and as long as I just get in, as long as God gives me a little shack in the corner, I'm good. You see, my friend, Jesus wasn't interested in just saving you, just to save you, for you to do nothing. He's interested in saving you because he has a purpose for you. And he's gifted you. And he wants to use you. And you may feel like you're not worthy enough or you're not good enough. Well, none of us are good enough to be used by God, but he loves to use us. And he uses us. He'll use you. He's used all kinds of different people. You see, your reward will be determined by how you live. It'll be on how you live. Romans 14 tells us this. It says, so why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For the scriptures say, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me, and every tongue will declare allegiance to God. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. So it's not going to be you looking over at your mom or your dad or your spouse or blaming somebody else for how your life ended up. No. You are going to give an account for you to God Almighty. And I tell you, if there's a time in the world where we love to blame other people for all of our problems, it's today. We love to make excuses. We love to make excuses. Well, so-and-so did this to me, or so-and-so went on. And listen, we all have things happen to us that can be difficult, no question. And there's times we all need help, absolutely. But at the end of the day, when we stand before God Almighty, you will give an account for you. Not your wife, not your husband, but for you. And so let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble or fall. So why is Paul saying this? He's saying, listen, don't be judging another believer and how they're living their life and them using their gifts. Now, the Bible is very clear that if a Christian, a believer in Christ, is living in a way that's not God-honoring, that you want to confront them in a loving way to help steer them back to the right road of living for Jesus. That's biblical, right? But what Paul's talking about is not that. He's talking about hey, if so-and-so has the gift of working with kids, or they have the gift of working in this area, and I have a different gift, man, don't trip them up by either trying to make them like you and trying to make them mirror you and your gifting. Like, that just doesn't work. Kind of the classic, the Bible comparing the body to the church and having different gifts and abilities. And that's really what he's trying to point out here. And so we all will give an account. It also will do this. The judgment seat of Christ will reveal what we value most. I mean, there will be no hiding it whatsoever. Now, I don't know if God has a remote or if he has a Roku remote or if he has one of those IMAX theater type screens where we're standing in front of him and he goes, doot, and like he shows the good things we've done. He shows the bad things we've done. Like, I don't know, but I know it seems to be written in the books. It seems that God can do whatever he wants to do and show whatever he wants to show. But notice what it says in Matthew 6, and Jesus said this. In Matthew 6, it says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. And Christian, in the most simple way, there's only one person who can answer this question. Where's your heart? What do you really value? What do you really value? And what you do with your time, your talents, and your money usually reveals your heart. It reveals your heart. And when you give somebody either money or power or both, sometimes clearly is seen in our society. You give someone who knows how to handle money and realizes money is just a tool, especially in the kingdom of God, it's a tool to be used. It won't matter how much money you give them, they're going to use it for God's glory. When they realize that the talent God's given them, they're going to use it for God's glory. If God gives them any power, they're going to realize this is to be used for God's glory. You know what God tends to do, I think, when he gives people either power or money and they handle it correctly because they further the kingdom of God? He gives them more. He gives them more responsibility. He may even change it up what that looks like. In that way, I really believe that. And so if you're faithful in little, and the teens are right down here right now, you want God to bless you, be faithful in the small things. Be faithful in the small things. And he'll give you more to handle. That goes for everybody. What do you really value here on earth? And I pray and I hope that you are setting things up that when the day comes, unless the Lord tarries, you will die. And you will stand before him. And I pray that you have no regrets. I really do. You see, there'll be a time where that day it'll show how you prepared. Have you ever had the dream? I had a dream where I was on a college campus where I went to college. And I'm going to class and I see a friend and they go, are you ready for the chemistry final? And I'm like, didn't realize I even had chemistry. And I'm like frantic because I need to study for this chemistry final and I haven't had a chemistry class. And I go and I study and I got like 2 hours to study. And that feeling of just not being prepared, it's a horrible feeling. And unfortunately, there's going to be some believers who simply, they're just not prepared. And 1 Corinthians 3 should cause us to ask some practical questions related to the quality of the materials we're using in the spiritual construction of our own lives and our own church. Are we building up or are we tearing down? Help us ponder this. Here's a couple questions. Am I building up my fellow believers in my church with quality bricks of humility, contentment, patience, perseverance, love, and integrity? Or am I contributing poor quality works in my church like pride, ambition, patience, weakness, bitterness, unforgiveness, and disharmony? Am I neglecting ministry opportunities that could be building up my local church members and helping them? What am I doing with the gifts God's giving me? Have I failed to see my local church with the same love and priority as God sees it, as his temple? What things in my life have I been constantly placing ahead of God's church? Am I truly giving my whole heart, soul, and mind and strength to the Lord? What things am I focusing my greatest affection and attention? And anything, if you're building a home or you're building a business or you're building a building, you have to have an inspector come in and look. Usually at different times to check out the plumbing, the electric, and how you're building the building. You have to have an inspector come in and say, and give the green light, to give the thumbs up and say, you know what? It looks good. And one day, every believer is going to be inspected. And they will be rewarded. And I believe they also will see things in which they lost out on and go, oh, I would have been rewarded with that if I had just obeyed in that area. If I had answered the call in that area. I have a passage here for you, and I believe it's in 2 Peter chapter 3, if you'll show up there on the screen. And it says, then I saw a lamb that looked like it had been slaughtered, but it was now standing between the throne and the four living beings and among the 24 elders. And and he had seven horns and seven eyes, which represented the sevenfold spirit of God, and is sent out into every part of the earth. And he stepped forward and looked, scrolled through his right hand on the one sitting on the throne. And when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. And each had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song with these words: you are worthy to take the scroll and to break its seals and to open it. For you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on earth. That's out of Revelation chapter 5, verse 6 through 10. Many believe that that as you're reading this and you see the reward that has been given, that the crowns in which they have, that the way they are dressed is a sign of already experiencing the judgment seat of Christ, and that they will take the crowns off their head, and before the throne of God, they will throw their crowns, saying, we are not worthy, but you are worthy, God. And I hope and I pray that every one of us can be crown throwers, that when we stand before God Almighty and we realize how we've been rewarded, that what we've been rewarded with, we don't even need, that we're willing to give it to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings and throw it down at his feet. And my concern is this, is that going through the pandemic has made many of our churches a little lazy. And I'll say this with, and I really do, I'm saying this with love and concern. And really, this is probably something to say to members. If you're a Christian, this would apply to you as well. But as a pastor here, over Southside and our church members, let me say this. There's different times I realize of different ages where a new chapter begins, and maybe what we do for Jesus changes a little bit. I can understand that. But if you're a member here at Southside, my friend, your biblical duty, not like one I'm putting on you, your biblical duty from the Lord is to be involved in expanding the kingdom of God through his church. And if you're not using any of your gifts and your abilities in Southside today, here at Southside, you're not obeying the Lord. You're missing out on rewards in which he could have for you. You're missing out. And the job of every single member here at Southside, you need to be involved in a ministry in some form or fashion. And what happens is if there's church members who neglect to use their gifts, someone has to pick up the slack. It's usually our staff or myself, sometimes it's our deacons, and you're missing out on getting the blessing. And many hands make for light work. And listen, we have some wonderful workers here at our church. I mean, think about it. The last 5 years, we paid off $600,000 in debt. We raised $150,000 plus to renovate the sanctuary, our children's area, the foyer, some other areas in our church. God blessed. He blessed. And I'm thankful. And really in 2022, getting out of the pandemic, it's time for a lot of churches to refocus and rebuild. And that's what we're called to do. And listen, don't miss out on the blessings of serving God. You will be rewarded accordingly. There's one thing we have here at church that I tell our staff, listen, we don't use the V word. We don't say we need volunteers. Volunteers do not get paid. Workers do. And we are workers for the Lord. And we will be rewarded according to his word at the judgment seat of Christ. And I pray that you're prepared and that you're ready. But some of you have missed out. You've missed out. And for me and others have practically begged in certain areas, hey, get involved. And it's like it goes in one ear and out the other. It's like you're missing it. And when you stand before God, you have no excuse. You have no excuse because it's been preached, it's been taught here, here at Southside. And listen, we have openings in certain areas. We do. From our children's ministry, from nursery, for our connection groups. We have more classes that need to be started. We've been praying about having Celebrate Recovery. In fact, some of the guys who building a team, I have three other guys, and we do need some ladies a part of that. Maybe that's a passion of yours that we're planning on. We're gonna go to a Celebrate Recovery this month and check it out. That way we can get an idea of how it's run. And we're, you know, doing the legwork right now. And I pray that's something that can happen here at Southside, but it won't happen by itself. Ministry doesn't happen because of one person. It happens because a body of believers decides to move forward. And we will not get lazy in this area. Don't get lazy. And I say this with love as a father, like I would to my children. Get up, get moving, and get busy for Jesus. Amen. Like, what are you doing? You get this one life. You get this one time. You don't get another life. You don't get a do-over. You don't get to hit the reset button and go, you know what? I really messed that one up. I got to do another one. You get this one life. So what are you doing? And I love you, but some of you just need a kick in the rear end to get moving, apparently. We have things to do. And so if we're going to have some of the things in which we have in ministry, you got to get going. You got to get involved. Find your place. Find your place. We have more than enough to do. I mean, we have projects here on our property that need to get done. That need to get done. Some of it's maintenance related. Some of it's not maintenance related. Get involved. Find your spot. Find your spot. Don't be embarrassed when you stand before God Almighty and he simply says, what were you doing with the time and the talents I gave you? I gave you the church to do it, the place you could love and be loved, the place you could serve and be served. And like, you missed out. Why? He's going to ask you why. And I'm thankful that as a believer, there's some things that are like, man, preacher, there's some things I hope God doesn't judge me about because I've done some dumb things. And I'm thankful that as a Christian, that when we confess our sins, he forgives them, he forgets them, and he moves on. And he's not going to bring them up. So maybe you're wondering as a Christian, like, man, I've sinned more as a Christian than as a non-Christian. Same here. I accepted Christ when I was 7 years old. I've sinned more as a Christian than a non-Christian. And the things that I've confessed or given to God, he forgives and he forgets, and I'm thankful. And we won't be judged on that. But my friend, I want to encourage you, I want to plead with you that that day of judgment, it will come. Whether you believe in Christ this morning or you reject Christ. As the music starts, I want to ask you, maybe you're watching or you're here this morning and you do not know Christ as your Savior. What should you do? Repent of your sins. Ask Christ to save you and put your belief in Him. He will save you, He will change you, and He will welcome you into the kingdom of God. Lord, You are so good to us. And whether we have 50 years to live or we have one, each day is a gift that You want to use to make us more like Jesus, to further Your kingdom, to help people know You. I pray that we use all of our days, all of our gifts, all of our time for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. God bless you, church.